Hello and welcome to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Thanks so much for joining us. Hurricane season begins June 1st. The season starts as parts of the Florida Keys continue to recover from the devastation caused by Hurricane Irma, and of course Puerto Rico still trying to recover after Hurricane Maria. Now, before the start of each season, they have the annual Governor's Hurricane Conference, and this year it was at Palm Beach County's Convention Center. Now, the conference has a number of sessions scheduled on hurricane preparedness and communication, but they didn't have a single session on the impacts of climate change on the intensification of storms. Now, we spoke with the new director of the National Hurricane Center, Ken Graham, from the conference, where he was a keynote speaker. And I started by asking Mr. Graham, what were the lessons learned from last year's hurricane season?
I really know how it feels, you know, seeing the last 10 years in Katrina and you know, Katrina forecasting, and you look at spending time in New Orleans and the impacts that we had there. You know, I really know how that feels. And you know, it's one of these things that you have to remember. You know, after a disaster, it's interesting we become more resilient. You really see neighbor helping neighbor. You see family being closer. You know, you become closer as a community. And I think going forward, it's about recovering. And I think from a weather standpoint of it, it's being careful using those storms as the new benchmark. Every one of these storms is so incredibly different. And, you know, if you didn't get impact in one of those storms, but you were close, it doesn't mean it might not happen next time. So it's one of these things that we can't use these storms to compare each other. But, you know, in the end result, we become closer as a community.
Mr. Graham, Florida is historically among the most vulnerable states. Now, last year, Hurricane Irma was a Category 5, and it looked like it was going to be a direct hit on Miami, but we got lucky. Your understanding of the state and also coastal cities' infrastructure and planning, are we ready for another big storm?
You know, it is all about that resiliency. It's a recovering. It's the lessons learned. And, you know, I've seen it many times in other locations, and I've seen it in Florida. You know, you take the lessons learned from the previous season, and you work those plans. And we're sitting here at a conference, the Florida Governor's Conference for the Hurricanes, and everybody's talking about lessons learned and how to get better. We're sharing this information with each other, and I've seen it many times. It's one of these things that you go through this big season, whether it's Irma, whether it's Harvey, whether it's Maria, and you rebuild, you become more resilient. And every single time, I've seen us become better and more ready for the next storm. If you look at history, each one of these bad seasons brings new ways of doing business, brings improvements, and brings increased resiliency.
Is there one thing about last year's season, though, like that is a lesson that you really want everyone to remember?
You know, I think you look at, you know, a lot of people have already heard we set a record with the hurricane track forecasting and also intensity. So we're getting a lot better when it comes to the science. But here's what we got to really remember. The better we do, the smaller the cone. So if you think about it, the cone is simply a cone of mathematical analysis of how well we do over the last 5 years. A couple of really good years, smaller cone. If we struggle a little bit, the cone gets bigger. So here's what we always got to remember. It's really critical. Are the impacts can be well outside the cone. In fact, hundreds and hundreds of miles away from that cone, you could get some of the worst conditions in some cases with a tropical system, heavy rain, tornadoes, storm surge. So one of the big things, it's not a cone of impact. You could be hundreds of miles away and still get big impacts from tropical systems.
You know, in a lot of ways, you're uniquely prepared for this position. You started your career as a broadcast meteorologist. Talk about your experience working in the media and how it got you ready for this job.
You know, I think working in the media and everything that I've done in the Weather Service last 24 years, it is so clear to me, you know, the degree is in meteorology, I got math and physics, but the bottom line is it's about people. Everything we do with the science has to be relatable and actionable by the people. And it's not always easy to make that translation. And I think for me, it is. I saw it in television weather. There's so many stories that go back to being wall to wall with whether it's a hurricane or a tornado event, and everything you do is trying to communicate what that impact is going to be to a person. And if you can do that, then there's some action, there's some preparedness that takes place, and lives are saved. That's the whole game, and that's what keeps me going. That's what keeps me passionate. It's all about people.
You're the new face of the organization. You oversee the outreach and the preparedness messaging. How are you coordinating with the media to get that message out there for rapid communications, especially when we start getting closer to storms?
You know, I think across the country, we're seeing more of these integrated warning teams where offices are meeting with the media and emergency managers in the same room. I want to keep doing that too. And I've never seen a time in my career, you know, with so much information out there, I've never seen a time that the need isn't greater than now for us all to be together. The media, emergency management, because all the studies show a consistent message saves lives. And I think it's really reaching out to the media. It's attending the conferences. It's being here today, talking about the real issues. And I think going forward, I mentioned this social science. I mentioned the behavioral science and looking at our products. That's going to take us all to get there. So, you know, we're all going to have to be in the room, the media, emergency management, and really have conversation about what's going well, what are the challenges, and let's go there together. And I think that's one big thing that I really want to do in this new position.
FEMA Administrator Brock Long spoke at the conference this week arguing Floridians shouldn't expect the federal government to be everywhere on the ground the days during and following a hurricane. Does that mean that it's going to be on local governments and the state during recovery effort?
Yeah, I think for us, being a meteorologist at the Hurricane Center, for me, it's all about giving not only the federal, state, and local partners, but also the media. You know, my job's going to give everyone the best forecast that we can. And I think, you know, related to that, I guess before the storm is communicating those impacts. But, you know, one thing that we want to talk about, indirect fatalities associated with tropical systems. So part of it is that readiness. But, you know, the majority of indirect fatalities is cardiac arrest, believe it or not. And we have to continue to send the messaging out after the storm about reminders about, you know, looking at chainsaw, generator safety, electrical line safety, all these safety measures. So for our job, our mission is related to that science and communicating those impacts.
But I want to make sure I'm not reading into this incorrectly. Is what Mr. Long said that the federal government isn't going to be as involved during and after the storm, especially when it comes to cleanup, it comes to recovery? I mean, is it just going to be on the local governments and the state?
Yeah, I can't speak to FEMA, but I mean, he's got his message, and we're going to do everything we can to support him with the science.
You were not there during Hurricane Katrina, but you did go back to New Orleans after the hurricane. You served as the system operations chief at Southern Region Headquarters. You led a team and helped in the recovery efforts and critical repairs. Can you tell me, what were the things that you gathered? What did you learn about working after the storm, you know, those experiences, and, you know, how that's going to help you if in case anything like that hits us here?
You know, one of the things that I saw after Katrina was its communications. It was interesting when your cell phone doesn't work. It was interesting how many people would take their cell phone out every couple minutes and look at it just in case it was working. We're so dependent on this technology. And that's one of the reasons I'm happy to have a ham radio license and, you know, having ways to communicate if you're not able to versus a cell phone, or finding any radio station you can just to get some sort of information. So it is about that. You start losing the things that we depend on. And I tell you, it's amazing that you got to have multiple sources to get that information. Or after the storm, you know, many of those main ways you get information is not there. So you got to have multiple sources to get that information. That was a big lesson after Katrina.
Researchers, including the Union of Concerned Scientists, have argued climate change is exacerbating the strengths of hurricanes. Yet none of the sessions at the conference focus on climate change research as it relates to hurricanes. As the new director, how are you approaching this topic?
You know, I think for me, it's you know, it relates back to some of the conversation I had about the impacts. And a couple things to talk about here. You know, it's hard to take one storm or one season and equate it to, you know, climate change. Because if you think about it, we can find other seasons that were worse, other seasons that were similar. So that part of it's difficult. But the one conversation that I know that we do have, and we had a lot of this conversation in Louisiana, was, you know, you got sea level rise. So it, you know, automatically the first thing that comes to your mind is, well, you know, storm surge could be higher. But that's not really what we were communicating. The inward extent of that storm surge is part of the conversation. So if the storm surge used to go, you know, a few miles inland in Louisiana, it would go a lot further. So it's impacts like that. There's a little more subtleties to those impacts. And the other part is the conversation about rain. You know, a warmer atmosphere holds more moisture, and you can get some heavier rain events. So it goes back to those impacts and looking at what those impacts are and be able to be ready for those.
Is there a concern about discussing climate change and talking about hurricanes at the same time, though?
I don't think there's any concern. I think it, you know, for me anyway, in my career, it's been about what we're going to see on the ground. And I think the focus, a lot of the focus of this conference is preparedness. It really is about being resilient and being ready for the next one. So, there's plenty of those. There's plenty of conferences where those topics are occurring. But I know for this one, it's really focused on emergency management and the preparedness for that.
One of the things that's going to be discussed at this conference is new predictors and new technologies. How much better have we gotten at tracking storms, predicting storms, and knowing what they're going to do next?
You know, I think we really set a record when it came to the track forecast. And I think intensities, we're shaving knots off the intensity forecast as well. So we're really getting better at all that. And you think about it, the NOAA satellite, we're looking into the storm in ways we've never seen before. We can see those eyewall replacements. We can see the wobbles. And a little wobble makes a big difference on the ground. So maybe, you know, having that, we might be able to get ahead of that with some of the impacts. But the other part of it is using these technologies to gather data, possibly in the northwest United States. Why is that important? You can have a trough digging that may be weak and doesn't turn a hurricane, or it could be stronger than expected and actually turn the hurricane. All that data gets into the models, and as a result, we're seeing the models get better and better. And as a result, even with a perfect forecast, the storm's still going to come. And dividing that up into the individual impacts, that's where I think you're going to get a lot more science being to start looking at the water, the heavy rain threat. You look back, it's a long time ago, but Hurricane Camille, there were more fatalities inland than there were along the coast from a Cat 5. And that was really resulting in all that rainfall inland. And that's where a lot of the focus has to be. And I think you're going to see a lot more communication, a lot more science being put into that.
There is an exercise provided at this year's conference. It's hashtagged Hurricane Hunt. It shows how social media can be used during an emergency or disaster. Can you tell me a little bit about how that's going to work?
Yeah, you know, I think the social media is such a big factor. You know, I look at my own family and you know, my kids get everything from social media. So what a big factor. We're able to reach more people than we've ever been able to reach before. But, you know, I've been saying this at this conference, you know, there's so much information out there. And, you know, the studies show that a consistent message saves lives. And lots of conflicting messages can cause a paralysis when it comes to decision making. So I've never seen a time in my career where it wasn't more important than now for the media to be together with emergency management, with us, all of us together to talk about, like today, talk about preparedness and talk about the science and the challenges that we have. But during a storm, you know, communicating the impacts together and being able to say, here's the range of possibilities. So, you know, in this direction, these are some possibilities. If the storm does this, these are the possibilities. And that's maybe a better way to really have some sort of focus on those uncertainties, because when it comes to a hurricane, there's always a lot of uncertainties.
One of the things that we learned, one of the difficult things we learned last year is, well, Florida is very narrow. And when it comes to basically leaving the state, leaving an area, it's very limited in where you can go. And so we saw that with Hurricane Irma, a lot of people trying to leave South Florida and then, of course, clogging up the roads. What would you tell, you know, people in different regions when a storm is coming? When should they consider evacuating, or what they should consider about, you know, just hunkering down or going to a shelter? I mean, we're just limited in the ability to get out if we had to.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, Florida, if you think about it, we can get Atlantic side, Gulf side. It could come up, similar Irma, come up from the south through the Keys. Very difficult. And I think for me, I mean, I got to rewrite my own plan too. Coming from New Orleans into Florida, I've got to look at my own situation, analyze my own risk, and know my zone. It's one of these things that, you know, becomes a little bit at the risk of giving another cliche here, you know, listen to the local officials. But knowing that zone and you know, understanding that zone and where you're going to go. I mean, it's not as easy in Florida to be able to escape those impacts. So the biggest thing is reducing the highest risk. If you're in a storm surge zone, it's going to be storm surge. You got to get out of that risk. So somehow it's a matter, if you can't get out, it's a matter of mitigating that risk, understanding the risk of where you're at, and trying to lower that risk somewhere.
We always get the forecasts. We're told how many storms are going to come or what to expect, how many could become major hurricanes. There are a lot of people who live in Florida who just moved here and they haven't been through one, so they don't know. What's the message about how to read forecasts when they start making predictions? How should people be thinking about that information?
You know, I think it's one of these things that whether it's a busy season or not, none of that's important when it comes to preparedness. You know, you always hear the old slogan, it only takes one, but here's another way to look at it, especially for people that are just moving here. If there's one storm on earth, if it comes to Florida, it's busy for us. So their preparedness has to include getting information, knowing the risk, where they are, what evacuation zone they live in. Are you in a surge risk? Do you have a giant tree next to your house that may be old that could fall on your house? How do you mitigate some of those type of things? So understanding the risk, have a plan. We say it so much, it's at the risk of people not really thinking about it as much because we say it so often. But having that plan is everything. It's reducing the stress of the hurricane by knowing where you're going to go, knowing what your vulnerabilities are, and having, you know, stuff, having medicine, having food, having water for the first 72 hours. Because in the big storms, as I've seen a lot in my career, you're on your own for a little while. And that's a big message. Be ready, be prepared, and that way, you know, you'll be ready to do what you have to do in the next storm.
That was Ken Graham, the new director for the National Hurricane Center. He was the keynote speaker at the annual Governor's Hurricane Conference, which is still going on today. Hurricane season starts June 1st. And remember, this is the time to start preparing. Now, if you were here for Irma, then you remember the long lines at the gas station. You remember stores running out of basic necessities. So start getting ready now. Get those things now. Now, we're going to post more online at WLRN.org. We'll go back to that checklist that you should know so well.